Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Somebody say hallelujah. I just thank God for this day. It's another day that we are here and that we're able to gather together under the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to give honor to my pastors, Pastor Harold and Annis. They continue to keep moving, even if it's few. Amen. And the good thing about that is you learn to just trust God even when nobody else is around. How many of you know this is training? Amen. This is training for us to get equipped, for us to become all that God has for us. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to gather again in your midst, oh God. Heavenly Father, we pray, dear God, that today that you be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. God, that you would speak, dear God, even to me, dear God, that you would speak. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just pray, dear God, that you would just allow your word to go forth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So last week we were preaching about what do you believe about. We actually been on a whole series about what do you believe. But last week we talked about church leadership, pastors and leaders. What does godly pastors and leaders look like? Why is this important? Because us as the body of Christ, not just the pastors, but we need to know how to pick the right godly men and women in our life. Amen. How many of you know sometimes if you follow somebody, that's on you, right? You have to know what you're looking for. And it's a shame that some people don't know how to find godly leaders. But we are looking, the church is looking for godly leadership to raise the generation, not to be leaders over them always, because there's going to be a time where we have to pass on the baton to somebody else and they have to lead. Amen. So what we need to do is know how to find leaders that pull out from us. Amen. Last week we went to Pastor Nate and Pastor Gail's church, and one of the persons there said that, man, every time he comes there, or he or she, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but they feel the good thing is that pastor pulls out of them. He allows them to expand. And then everywhere else they say they go, they don't feel the same. You know what I'm saying? So what do I look at that and say, well, this is where you should be. Why? Because a pastor or a great leader, see, Jesus didn't just say, hey, you guys, you're great. Just follow me and don't do anything. Jesus actually taught them how to do all that he did. And then after he taught them, he said, okay, now you guys go out, come back, give me a report, right? That's when the disciples came back one time and they said, hey, man, we prayed and this didn't happen. Why? Jesus was training them. Amen. It comes back to us. We are being trained. Amen. So I talked about picking leaders. We went through 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, which spoke about elders, deacons, bishops, what it looks like for those people. But all, today we're gonna do one more section on that, and then we're going to talk about not only what you should believe about yourself, but what the Bible speaks to you to become. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's start at 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 11. And this here is for overseers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. I'm waiting for my Bible to get up. And it says this, the elders who are among you, I exhort. All right, we've talked about exhorting a lot. That means to what? Encourage. Okay? So it says, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Okay. Not by compulsion, but willingly. All right. What does compulsion mean? Sometimes when you hear the compulsion, it's almost like forced, right? I'm going to force you to, you're going to get saved whether you like it or not. That's not the way that we run this thing, right? And we actually had too many issues like that in church history, which ran people away. And to this day, they say, well, they did this and we did that. And check this out. If somebody doesn't willingly serve, they're not really servants. Okay, that's the difference between a slave and a servant. Slaves are forced to do it. Servants willingly do it. Amen. But it says, not by compulsion oversee them, but do it willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Okay. Now, we've seen people do this for dishonest gain. Now, as I talked about learning how to pick leaders, sometimes it's pretty sad when you hear the news that happens in a church where a pastor says, hey, I'm teaching you, I'm leading you, and he takes advantage of the people. Amen. Why does this happen? One, because those people didn't know how to pick a godly leader. I told you guys last week, I don't go into any church and just start shouting amen when people get up and start preaching. Because I need to figure out, do I really, amen means I agree, right? So when I'm there, I have to listen because there's so many, and it's sometimes it's you don't want to be overly judging, right? Or overly trying to find something wrong with people, amen? But you do have to try the Spirit, as the Word of God says, by the Spirit. What does that mean? You're going to have to find out, is this person for real? Amen? Brother Art, you've been around us long enough. You've seen when people are with us and when people are not. This is not a game. I tell people, look, I don't got time for games. We don't got time for it to be a gimmick church. People are going to hell right now. Dying and going to hell. And we don't have time to play games. But for people that are looking for God, they need to know how to look for godly leadership. What happens is when these people fall into a situation where the leadership falls, they begin to say, I don't want nothing to do with church, right? And what that does is that scar gets built up. And how many know if you don't fix the scar just gets worse and worse? The great thing about our body, if we get a scar, it'll heal up. But spiritually, people are scarred and they haven't allowed God to heal them up because they've been hurt by church. So what we need to do is teach them how to find the right shepherd. Amen. It says, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. There you go. This is one way that you know if you're in the right place. If the pastors, the leaders are examples. If they tell you to do something, but then they show you how to do it, that's a difference, right? I've been in some churches and I see the pastor serving, doing everything, working, and I'd be like, man, this is a good example. Why? Because Jesus even said, the greatest amongst you must serve. So if I go to a church and a pastor's serving, I'm like, okay, this is a cool place. I go to other churches where they're like, hey, you get over here, do this. You do this. Go to my car and don't get it twisted. We do understand and honor. And I was in our Bible study this week. We were discussing how there needs to be honor in the body of Christ, but it needs to be honor on all ends. Amen. Amen. If the pastor is the only one being honored, something's not right. All right. Something's not right if the only one being honored is the pastor, because what that looks like is he's God. Right. God should be honored. God should be glorified in us, but we should honor the brethren. We should honor the body of Christ, our brothers and our sisters. We should honor them. Amen? That's part of understanding what God wants us to be. So they need to be examples. And when the chief shepherd appears, you receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Amen? Let's keep on going. It says, likewise, you younger people, listen up, young people. Submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. So first of all, it says be submissive to your elders. What does that mean? We should be able to learn from those who've lived a little bit longer than us. Amen. Especially in the faith. Now, let's be clear about this. Just because somebody is older, right? Just because somebody is older and they got saved, that don't mean they're their elders in the faith. Right? Because what people got to remember is when you get saved, you get born again. And you grow and mature. Now, some people haven't did that growing and maturing part. They just got saved. And they think that's all. But growing in maturity, it shows in how you are being tested. How many you know, some people, they're quick to say things like, man, you just got to speak and God's going to do it, right? We believe that. But how many know your faith is going to be tested? So that means sometimes when you say something, it's not going to happen instantly. We don't pray, dear God, in Jesus' name, heal this body right now, dear God. Sometimes you're going to be tested. And the greatest test is time, right? How many of us deal with time issues all the time? Why? Because that is the issue of faith. We even look in the scripture with Daniel when he was praying and fasting. He prayed. The prayer went out. The angel was on his way to answer the prayer, but it took 21 timed days, right? So what do we see? That was the battle. There's a spiritual war going on, and Daniel could have said, man, I don't think this is going to happen. 21 days, God is taking 21. Some of us, it goes longer than that. Look at the lady with the issue of blood. It took how many years? 12 years. Time. But when she touched Jesus, she was healed instantly. Why? Because Jesus was there. Amen. He was on the earth. And there is times that God will do that. But your faith has to be tested. Amen. And I don't even know why I started talking about that. But we must understand that there will be tests that we must pass. Amen. Oh, I was speaking about elders. So those elders are people that have been able to win the tests that they face, right? We see boxers. They are measured by how many fights they have won. If they're 21 and 0, people are like, man, that's a great fighter. Did you see what he does? If they're 3-6, it's kind of like, I don't know if he's a good fighter. He haven't won more than he's lost. So that test proves if you're going to be somebody worthy to lead somebody. Amen. It says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed. Somebody say clothed with humility. Get humility on you. Humility. What is humility? That don't mean we're making fun of you all the time. That don't mean we're trying to make you an example. Humility means one of my great friends, Marcel, he has a great humble spirit on him. Never, this guy is never talking about how good he is, never even wants credit for stuff. He has a humble spirit. What does that look like? He's quick to say, hey, I still have to learn. Right? I mean, he's great in what he does. A lot of things he does, you look at it and be like, wow, bro, how did you do it? He's like, I'm just learning. I'm still learning. Right? Because he's humble. Now, some people that do the same kind of stuff, they're not humble. You say, hey, yeah, I did that. That's me right there. What you think? Well, you could change this. No, I ain't changing nothing. I know how to do it, right? That's the difference between somebody that is humble and somebody that is not. So if we are all clothed with humbleness, One thing we can learn is we're all trying to continue to learn. Amen? As a pastor, my learning hasn't stopped. Right? My parents, as the head pastors, their learning doesn't stop. Pastor Willie been longer here than them. His learning never stops. Somebody said that the more you learn, the bigger your brain gets. No, I'm saying somebody said that. I was like, why should you repeat me? But the more that you learn, the bigger your brain expands, right? And they say that we use a very small amount of our brain. But somebody that is humble, they continue to learn. Remember, we talked about that last week. When you are wise, you will continue to become wise. When you think you know it all, you won't learn anything else. So our job is to be clothed with humility. Amen. And this is actually talking about more of the body of Christ, which is really what I'm talking about today, is what is our role? Amen. What is our role? After we have the leaders and the pastors, what is our role? And this still includes the pastors and the leaders. Amen. But as a church, we have to know exactly what we're supposed to do. So it says this: for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's interesting, because even when, let's say, the proud and the proud person and the one that has humble are on the same level, both trying to get it, both of them make a mistake, guess what God does to the proud? He resists them. The humble gets another chance, right? So you see the power of being humble. And then it continues and says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The great thing about God is he will exalt. Hallelujah. Some of the people that have served for the longest, they'll become ministers first. If we do this biblically, right? So humble yourself and let God exalt you. Don't, let's keep on going. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, this is a powerful scripture. A lot of times when I'm dealing with things in my life, this is something that I remember, that God cares about what we're dealing with. Amen. That's the power of God. God is not just some reigning God, some God that says, worship me, and that's all that I care about. You know, he cares about the little things that go on in our life. He said, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Give your cares to God. Give your worries to God. The good thing, Brother Art was sharing his testimony, he gave his worries to God. He came up and said, okay, I'm dealing with this. Help me, God. And what God will do is when you give it to him, he'll help you out. But when you try to figure it out on your own, guess what? You're on your own, Doc. Do it. How can you see? That's what most of the time, what messes us up in the body of Christ is us. Right? We jack so many things up. Trying to be proud, think we know it all. We mess things up, but let us be humble. Amen. And let us realize that we need God's help. It says, be sober. Somebody say sober. Be vigilant. What's vigilant mean? Be aware of. Ready. Vigilant means kind of being ready. Always ready. We stay ready. So we got to be sober. Now, I don't think that needs any definition. Staying ready, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Okay, look, let me keep on finishing this chapter, this part. It says, but may the God of grace, not just some grace, but all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we saw that we need to be ready because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Now, we were watching, my dad recorded something with lions and hyenas, right? Now, I learned some things about hyenas that I didn't know. I didn't know that a hyena could attack a cheetah. Didn't know that. And be successful. And cheetahs won't mess with hyenas because they're smaller than them. So a hyena, usually what a hyena does is he stays in the pack, right? He stays in the pack so that he does not be caught slipping. A pack of hyenas can take food from the women lions, right? Only a pack, though. Don't go by yourself. Because in this show, one of them went by themselves trying to get it, and they got tore up, right? And even when they go in a pack, they have to make sure they're in the right position, ready to attack, not ready just looking. Because in that show, the mom hyena was taken out because she was caught looking, right? So what you have to do is you have to be ready. Be vigilant. I even think vigilant means like a warrior is a vigilant. He's ready for, I'm already got my sword out. I'm just waiting. I'm like Peter, like they coming to get Jesus. I'm sorted up. Like, what you mean you coming to get Jesus? You know, obviously his thing was a little bit off, but just understand where I'm going. In the spiritual war, we need to be ready. When the devil comes into your life, we shouldn't be like, oh, what should I do? I don't know. They start crying for a week and then say, oh, I should have prayed. I should have gotten a word. I should have spoke the word over my situation. Because that's what the devil does. He comes to knock you off. He comes to sucker punch you. But you have to be ready. Amen. Those are some tips on what this is what we have to believe about ourselves. See, some of us, we've believed so many wrong things that need to be corrected about ourselves by the word of God. So many people have spoke into our lives negatively, and it has caused us to not grasp who God really wants us to be. Amen. So it's time to know what we believe about ourselves. Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 12 through 16. Philippians 2, verse 12 through 16. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? Let me stop right there real quick. What is Paul saying to the Philippians? Look, even when I was there, you obeyed, but now you need to obey on your own. You guys catch that? You got to obey. You have to work out your own salvation. What does that mean? Does that mean they go hang themselves on a cross and say, Lord, forgive me for they don't know what they do? And no, that's not what it means. But it does mean you have to die to something. You have to die daily to your flesh. That part of you that still wants to do its own thing still has to die. That's part of working out salvation in fear and trembling. Knowing that God, okay, God, I still have things that I need to get rid of. Working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. And we must do that. If we don't work out our own salvation, guess what? I don't think you're saved. Right? If there's not something that you're working on in your relationship with God, I don't think you're saved. Because, and let me take it always back, we always got to do this for people that think that, oh, you got saved on your own will. That's not what we're saying. Jesus died, rose for the remission of your sins or the deletion of your sins. We've accepted that. Now we are born again, But salvation is the walking out of that born again process. Okay? So as we are walking out this born again process, there's going to be things that God says, get rid of that and pursue this. That's what the Bible is for. It tells us, get rid of that, pursue this. This is not a game of works that we're trying to say, okay, if we got 10 good works and 6 bad works, we'll make it in. No, this is not that. This is, I still have to be completely surrendered to God. My soul and my life must look like a believer. Amen. It says, for it is God. Look, it even says this. Come on, look. For it is God who works in you. Oh, wait, God's working. See, sometimes when you hear that voice that says you got to get rid of that, guess what? The Holy Spirit is trying to get you to be equipped to do what he needs you to do. Right? So when you're walking in and you see a lady and she looks pretty nice, instead of saying, man, if I had her, what you need to do is say, God, help me. The Spirit might tell you, get that off your head. Get that out your mind. Remove that. And you got a choice. You can accept that or you can do what you want to do. But we believers must walk this thing out in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will, right, and to do his good pleasure. I'm sorry, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. All right? It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, that's hard for some of us, right? Especially us that are married. We argue about stupid stuff all the time. But this is a part of understanding what the body of Christ is called to do. My daughter one day, she came up to me, Markela, and she said, you wasn't supposed to talk to your mom like that. Right? I didn't say nothing, though. I was kind of upset. Not at her, but so I was like, a couple of days later, I said, Markela, you were right. I'm supposed to honor my parents. Right? And it's those little things that remind you, man, at least I'm doing a good job with my kids. Right? Because they get me right. And I'm pretty sure I did that to my parents too. But it says we must do it without complaining or disputing. All things. When you're on your job, learn how to do it without complaining or disputing. Even today, I was getting I just bought an old car, and this is the guy on the tow truck. Man, he starts arguing with me because he got lost, right? And I'm like, man, this is the address. And he's yelling, you wasting my time. Da, 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 da. I'm like, dang, this guy's going off. So when I meet him, I'm not complaining. I'm not arguing. I just say, hey, sir, I'm glad you found it. We were just a little bit, and he was upset. And I was like, how was your day? He's like, oh, it was good until you made me get lost, right? So I was like, okay. You know, and then as time went on, you know, we just talking, and he finally says, man, you're a good guy. I can't treat you like that, right? So what began to happen is I could have started arguing with him because he was telling me he's going to change the price, all this stuff. But he says, man, I can't do that because you're a good guy. Right. So what we see is instead of joining in the arguing, I was able to diffuse the arguing. Right. Now, sometimes you just got to leave. Right. Sometimes there's going to be places that are so argumentative that you trying to say something won't help. The Bible talks about trying to talk to a fool. Don't waste your time talking to a fool. Right? Now don't go to somebody and say, you're a fool, I ain't gonna talk to you. Don't do that. But after conversations with people, and if you said something and they don't get it, keep saying something, they don't get it. They call you when they want to be on the phone for 3 hours, they don't get it. Look, the next time you call me, I'm not answering. Text me. Right? Those are the people that you need to text you. Save you 3 hours of your day. But we must do things without complaining and disputing. It says, verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless. That's what we want to be. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Amen. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. One thing Paul was saying is, look, man, I don't want to do all that work to help you get to a certain place and you don't continue in it. That's the worst thing. You ever took all your time to build something and somebody just comes and destroys it, right? You're upset. I took all that time and some foolish person just comes and destroys it. But what Paul is saying, look, I took all this time to pour into you. And when we're at church here and when we're speaking into people, we take time to pour into those people. We don't just wake up and get a sermon like this. It takes time. But as we pour into people, our prayer is that it's not in vain. We don't want to labor. I don't want to get to heaven and be like, God, man, I felt like all my work was in vain. I didn't lead anybody to you. Right? That's the worst thing. You ain't getting the crown, right? You want your work to be powerful. You want the work that you do to be active. You want to see it work in somebody's life. Amen. And I believe that as Christians, sometimes when we don't see it work, it is discouraging. Because we are encouraged by that work. The same pouring that we do when somebody says, man, God is moving in my life. I gave my life to God. I rededicated. I got saved because I heard you say something in my life and it changed my life. You kept calling me and da 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 da. That encourages us. That gets, you know, I always tell people, when people are getting saved, when you're leading people to Christ, you're always excited. But when you're not leading the people to Christ, it's like, man, God, what am I here for? You start questioning your vision. Oh, God, is so am I doing this? And da-da. But when people are impacted, it's like, yes, we're seeing God move. And that's what we need to see. Amen. But it said, be blameless and harmless in a crooked generation. For the people in the body of Christ to be who God wants them to be and believe that they are who God wants them to be, they have to be blameless. Right? The church people should not be the first people that come up when somebody's stuff is stolen. Oh, it might be evangelist so-and-so. Right? You should be the last name. They shouldn't even think about you. Somebody should say you, and nah, not him, man. He's a good guy. Matter of fact, I dropped $100 in front of him, you know, a block, and he ran to chase me down to make sure I had it. Like, that's the testimony they should have about us. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 25 through 30, and this is talking about continuing in Christ. It says, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. This is Paul talking, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Then he says this is for us. This is what we got to catch. Only let your conduct, somebody say conduct. So when you get saved, your conduct should not be the same as it was before you got saved. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. All right. So when you say worthy, what does that mean? It means there is guidelines. There is a level, right? You reach this level, you're worthy now. You guys got it? There's a level that God wants us to live with our conduct. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition. But to you of salvation and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Now this kind of gets deep when it talks about suffering and not fearing the sufferer, right? Now, your natural body, I definitely believe that some of the brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, there is a fear that they have. But their fear does not change them. Got that? See, what happens is when we are led by fear, fear will change your course if you allow it to. Right? Jesus was walking on water. He called Peter. Peter, yeah, I'm coming. Peter starts walking, right? But fear hit him and it changed Peter's direction. See that? But if Peter would have kept on walking, even Jesus said, why you take your eyes off me? Why did you let your fear rule instead of letting your faith rule? And Paul is saying the same thing, that even when you're facing your adversaries, you might have fear, but don't let it rule you. Because if it rules you, then that's proof to them that you don't believe what you're believing. Right? But when you stand and say, hey, I still gonna believe, it doesn't matter what, they're gonna be like, wow. Even if they persecute you, that's gonna stick with them. Because people don't die for things they really don't believe. Right? If I was like, hey, you got to die if your favorite color is puke brown. Is that your favorite color? No, not mine. without a shadow of doubt. I hate puke brown, right? Why? Because you don't believe in that. But if you thoroughly believe something, you stand by it to the end. Amen. And what Paul is saying, we have to stand by the gospel. Continue in the faith. Amen. Let's go to Colossians 1, 9 through 23. These are some things that need to happen as well. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. All right. So they want us to be walking wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then it says that you may walk worthy. We see that again. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are things that we have to do as believers, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. All right. Whoops, I wasn't even supposed to read that, but that worked. Let's go to verse 19. I'm sorry. 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, somebody say you, or say me. You who were once alienated, all right? And enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith. All right. So all of that was said only lasts if you continue in the faith. Grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So, if we do not want to remain alienated from the mind of God and the things of God, we must continue to believe, right? When you continue to believe in God, it changes the way you react. But when you stop, see, this is the thing. There have been people that have believed for a certain amount of time, but they stopped. I believe Judas believed. There was times he believed, but he stopped believing. He saw money, and it wasn't even a lot of money. And that's the thing about people. Sometimes, I mean, Judas was already running the money. 30 shekels of, what was it, silver or gold? That wasn't a lot. Right? But he stopped believing in Jesus. Judas stopped believing in the vision that Jesus had sent him. So he said, hey, man, this thing ain't working. I need $30. Right? And he got $30. But it was a price attached to it because he stopped believing. We must continue to believe. As we go through these trials and these tests, as I said, these boxing matches with life, we must continue to believe in Jesus. Continue to believe the gospel that says, God has shed his blood for me. Now I am saved and I am walking towards salvation. And one day he's coming to pick me up and take me with him. Amen. And this hope that I have, this that God can change me and has changed me, I need to share it with other people so they understand, man, this is not just for me. God is an awesome God that loves all people. He cares about what we deal with, but he also is a God that doesn't want to leave you where you are, because where you are is a place where you're trying to figure it out on your own and you can't do it. Amen? Amen. So we need God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians 2, verse 6 through 10. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Right? Hear that? Walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So the things that you learn in Christ, you must abound. What does abound mean? Stay in. With thanksgiving. Man, I'm so glad I learned that. Brother Art was saying, man, I got power over the enemy. Okay, so I can go pray and command. Man, once you learn those things, you live in those things. Amen? Be rooted and built up and established in the faith. So once you got born again, now be rooted, get in deep, trees, roots go deep, right? And then they get built up. Now, some people just want the build up. They don't want the roots. They just still trying to see, but a tree without a root is going to fall in a storm, right? Easily. A tree without a root, if you see a tree without a root, you can pull it up. But when it has a root, don't go try pulling that tree up out there. It's not moving because the roots go deep. The same is with the Christian faith. Get rooted in this. When I'm rooted in this thing, I'm going deep. I'm still trying to figure out, okay, God, how can I learn more about you? Because I still don't got it. I still don't understand everything about you, Lord. Teach me something new. I'm trying to get rooted in this thing so that I'm built up and established in the faith. Amen. And that comes from the teachings that we learn. And guess what? Those teachings are not just what you hear in the pulpit. It can consist of that, but it also consists of your own study time. As you're reading the word, we're a big church on you learn how to read the Bible for yourself. Okay? Don't think just coming to church and hearing a great sermon and looking at the scriptures that we read is just good enough. Get into the word for yourself. Build your own relationship with God, because that's the only thing that's going to keep you. You can come to church this week, next week, be gone for a couple of weeks, and if you didn't keep the word in your own life, you're going to be a wreck. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But that's why you have to know the word for yourself, because the enemy is going to take that seed from you if you don't go get it. Amen? All right, it says, beware, verse 8, lest anyone cheat you. And this is what we're even talking about. See, this is why you got to know it and be rooted in this thing, because there's cheaters out there. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. What's philosophy? Philosophy is teachings. And it's usually supposed to be smart teachings, right? Don't let anybody cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Guess what? That philosophy is being taught. We can walk out there and it's being taught. You can walk out the church door, it's being taught. Everybody that you meet that is not a Christian, they're trying to figure it out in their own mind and say, well, Jesus is not the only way. Come on, man. It with all the millions and billions of people that are on the earth, you trying to tell me Jesus? Yes, he is. And if you don't like it, you might go to hell. Just saying. You might want to get, right? But what I am saying is this. We have to know the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, you will be deceived. Right? And not just knowing one scripture either. Look, don't go get one scripture and try to make a whole doctrine off of it. Read the scriptures around it. Right? Find the context of it. What is it even talking about? Make sure it's in a, you know what I'm saying, like, because a lot of times people will say something and think this is what the Bible says. But if you read around that scripture, it'll explain it. Right? It'll explain it. Okay, it says in verse 9, for in him, who is Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead body. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. So we have to beware, because the enemy is roaring like a lion, seeking to devour. And the great thing, well, I don't know if this is great, but the thing about the enemy, he doesn't come like an enemy. Guess what? He's going to send to you what looks good. Right? If you don't like apple pie, the devil's not coming to you with apple pie. It's that simple. He going to bring lemon meringue, right? Whatever you like. And this is the thing. We live in a world now where everything looks good. That's sin. And people keep looking at it like, man, that looks good. I'm going to try that. And guess what? It's eating them up. Eating them up. And some of them know. But it looks so good. People that have lust issues, they'll tell you, man, I have an issue with lust. Then the next sentence, man, I need to get a different girlfriend. Right? Now, first of all, the whole situation is jacked up. But when you look through the eyes of lust, you're always looking for something more. You'll never be satisfied. But when you look through the eyes of love, you're gonna see one thing. I look at my wife, there's a lot of stuff my wife does that nobody else does. And I thank God for that. And I'm satisfied. I'm one of them people that I don't want to build a whole nother relationship. It took me, 12 years to get to where I'm at right now. I don't want another relationship. Relationships take work, right? When you first got started dating and stuff like that, it took a lot of work. Your friends is calling you, hey, man, you coming up? Nah, bro. I got to go see my girlfriend. We got to go. And even some of your friends, they might not have said it, but they're like, dang, he don't never got no time for us. Golly, you honey dripping now. You can't even pick up the phone. We can't even play basketball. It takes work. But it takes work with this relationship with Christ. And a different thing about, well, it shouldn't be different. Even in our relationships, we must continue to work so that they stay cohesive. Because if you stop working and be like, oh, all right, babe, do everything, I bet you there's going to be a problem. Your dinner going to be cold. You ain't going to have no dinner after a while. You know what I'm saying? Fend for yourself. But we must beware, because the devil is sending his philosophy. I was talking today about media, entertainment, and arts. That is filled with the philosophy of the devil. You got songs where people in the world are singing YOLO, you only live once, so enjoy the moment, right? Enjoy this moment, because after this moment, you might not see anything. Guess what? You do only live once in your flesh, but spiritually, we're not living for this moment. We're living for the moment that we get to be with him. So we're not satisfying our desires, but if you listen to the world, that's what they're saying. Get it now. You better get it now, because you might not get a chance to get it, right? And they use some big philosophy words, French words, words we don't even say, right? To explain the philosophy of the devil. I was talking about my mom. She came out with a word for today. And how many episodes did you actually come out with, Mom? 300 and something? 150? She came out with 150, just like the book of Psalms, right? Words for today that shared the philosophies of Christ that people are still talking about and debating on YouTube, because, you know, people on internet, they think they're macho and they can argue anything. Like, you don't even know me. Here's my phone number. Call me. They won't do it because they're hiding behind computers, right? But the philosophy of the world is so at large. When you tell somebody the philosophies of Christ, they're like, man, come on, that's so stupid. This is like weed smoke. It shouldn't be legal. People that she talked about how weed, really what drugs are witchcraft. That's what the Bible says. Because you're trying to get to, and how many people do you know that say they're having spiritual experiences while they're doing their drugs? Right? So the problem is some people continue to do drugs to get to a spiritual encounter. And guess what? Their God becomes that drug, because I can't get anywhere without that drug. Can't get anywhere without that fix. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man could come to God except through me. Right? Yeah, I know some people that God talked to while they were there and said, get out of this, right? And those that got out of it, okay, that was God. But if every time you was, I was with Jesus, and he was saying, and you ain't got no conviction, first of all, listen, you got to be convicted by the word of God. If you're not convicted by the word of God, it wasn't the word of God. Amen? Because God's word will convict. And once you say, okay, God, forgive me, I messed up, now God's word will enrich, right? He will enrich you to get you to build up. Amen? Let's go to this last chapter and verse that we're going to read today. Just turn the next page, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And this is talking about your character. Somebody say character. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, right? Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So listen, this is a list that we need to just remember. What is mercy? Mercy is, even though you deserve this, I'm going to give you mercy, which means, we used to play the game, I squeeze your hand, you squeeze your hand, and as soon as you say mercy, you let go, right? Because you couldn't take no more. That's mercy, right? Stopping what you really do deserve. All right, even with people that have sinned in the congregations, all the time, we must extend mercy, right? We're not the ones that condemn them and send them to hell and say, hey, you're going to hell. Now, after a while, if these people don't continue, the Bible does say kick them out. Right? Let them. Because if you do that, they may have a chance to come back. But if you continue to allow them in that, you're not doing a good job. But it says, give them mercy. Be kind. This is our role. When people come in, if they don't see a kind face, they don't see smiles, they're like, man, why should I be there? That's a sour church. Humility. We talked about that earlier. Meekness. What does meekness mean? It doesn't mean weakness, as everybody always says. Meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. Somebody look up what the word meek means. I want the real definition. Long suffering. Somebody say long suffering. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Somebody say love. Now, I was at a meeting today, and one thing they were saying is, if the body of Christ is going to come together, we have to love one another. Right? We have to learn what it looks like to love. Because it says right there, it's the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Whose hearts? Our hearts. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teachings, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, somebody say, whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Anybody find that definition of meek? All right, so meek means being submissive, okay? And we talked about that earlier, being meek. And once again, this doesn't mean weak. This doesn't mean getting ran over. If you're playing football and you were weak, you get ran over, right? If you are playing the meek role, you might be the one that dies and hits their foot before the other person gets to tackle, right? You're going to play a lower role. You're going to, a real player on a team knows that me being meek makes the team better because I'm not ego tripping. I'm not tripping that I got two tackles and the homie got nine tackles, but I'm the one that led every run inside because I was a corner and I was doing my job keeping that guy inside, right? And I might not be on the headlines. They might not talk about me. That's what meek is. You just play your role. Find a role, do it, and don't worry about what people say. Amen? So that's what it means to be meek. These are things that we need to take and apply so that we can believe who God wants us to be. Amen? Know and believe. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. We're done. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, dear God, for this word today. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you would allow it to continue to speak in our lives. That we would hear it over and over, oh God, that we apply your word so that we can be strong in this walk with Christ, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We want to be your ambassadors, oh God, and we don't want our labor to be in vain. God, we want to continue to do all that you've called us to do, dear God. And we glorify you and we thank you. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Anybody like prayer?
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.